Last week we talked about called Misrapin Chutz Mi'atzei Asherah. That's the topic that we've been doing. So just to talk about the connection first, one of the things that we talked about is the fact that there are Gimel Averos, right, and prominent among them of Avodah Zarah, about which we say in any context, no matter what is at stake, Yehareg Val Yavor. There are values that are more precious than life itself. Or another way to say it is our values, which if you take them away, right, make life or make sanctity of life, compromised in such a way that they're no longer as compelling. And the question is, how do we know that these three averos that we talk about, how do we know that they really have this pivotal, exceptional stature that would justify giving up one's life? So the Gemara here in Tachim, as we discussed last time, I just want to pick up with this. Tells us, quote to the position of Rabbi Eliezer, this is Kotei Amidalit, Rabbi Eliezer, Im Nemra B'chol Napshecha, Lama Nemra B'chol Meldecha, Im Nemra B'chol Meldecha, Lama Nemra B'chol Napshecha, Loma Lecha Yeshadim Shavufa Chavavavav of Mimamono, Lekach Nemra B'chol Napshecha, Yeshadim Shavavavavav of Chavavavav Migufa, Lekach Nemra B'chol Meldecha. Then the Gemara says, He asked the rabbi, "Now, Rabbi Yochanan, about Kolmitz Rapin, puts me about Azar Gilei Rois Shvichos Damim, about Azar Hadam Aram Gilei Rois Shvichos Damim, the Tanya Rabbi Amar Ki Kasher Yakum Isha Re'er Tzachon Nefesh Kena Davar Azeh, B'Chimani Rotzeach Etzal Nara Murasa, Hariz Abalalamed Benimse Lamed, Makish Rotzeach Nara Murasa, Ma Nara Murasa Nita Latzilo Benafsho, Af Rotzeach Nita Latzilo Benafsho." Benar Murasa, Mirotzeach, Marotzeach Yahari Bayabor, Af Nar Murasa, Tehari Baltava. Vishvichos Damim, Gufe Minalon, Svarahu, Otspain and Minakau, Dasa, the Kamadurava, Amali Mari Durai, Amali Zil Katali Laplon. The guy said, go kill X, Bilo Katil Lalach, if not, I'll kill you. Amali Likatluch below Tikto, my cousin, Damadidok, Sumak, Tvei, Dilma Dama, Dau Gavra, Sumak, how do you know your blood is redder than his? So it's fascinating, this is what we discussed last week, is that the Gemara, understandably, wants a makar for Yehari Gval Yavor. You're not going to tell somebody to give up his life, forfeit his life, without at least a makar, So they found one in Rotzeach at the Svara, a very compelling Svara at that. Now the light is back on. In Gilei Arayos, it's a hekesh to Rotzeach, which is not without problems because this Rotzeach has a certain svara that doesn't apply to Gilei Arayos. You might have asked, how can you have a hekesh to it? And if already there is a hekesh, so does that mean that there are no differences between Rotzeach and Gilei Arayos? So I hope we'll get back to that if we have a chance. But the most intriguing one is Avodah Zarah. If I'd asked anybody in the room, who didn't know, it's impossible because what can we do? We have such knowledgeable people, but if I said there's only one Avera for which you give up your life, right? So I'm sure the people in the room would either have said Rotzeach, right? Or if they really had no knowledge, right, probably would have said Avodah Zarah. But the truth is that the Makar for Avodah Zarah seems on the surface to be the flimsiest of all Makaros. As we noted last week, right, the Maram Chalav on the Ran asked this question. That is, the makar for Arayos connects to Rotzeach. The makar for Rotzeach is related, misvara, to what it is. But the makar for Avodah Zarah has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah on the surface. Right, it's just, V'yahavta is Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol miyodecha. So where does that leave us in terms of Avodah Zarah? So both Rav Chalava and the Ran, I say, ask this question, and they give an important answer. Each one quotes a version, either the positive or the negative version, of the idea of Hamodeh, right, Avodah Zarah, Kikofer b'chol Torah kula, or with Ran quotes it, Hakofer b'avodah zara kimode b'chol Torah kula. And then the Ran adds and says, right, and the ein lecha avas Hashem, right, gedola mizu. There's no greater expression of avas Hashem, or no greater contradiction to avas Hashem, depending on your point of view, than violating avodah zarah. No greater expression than giving up your life rather than give in, right, to or succumb to the pressure of avodah zarah. And towards the end, we were discussing this idea, and the idea that if this indeed is the source for avodah zarah, not the word of avodah zarah per se, but the idea of avodah Hashem and a linchpin, right, of you can't say a machmir in Eruvei Tumin and in Basa B'Cholav and in Pasakum, but you know, I also happen to violate avodah zarah. Right? It's ridiculous. Right? Certain things are just fundamental, primary, they're defining. Your view on avodah zarah defines you, one way or another. If you're against it, you can be a bad Jew, but you're still a Jew. And if you're for it, right, you can be machmir in every other din in the halacha, right, and it's still a sham. It's a chuchot tula. And that's the idea that Ron wants to get across, which basically is a way of saying you don't really need a makar, because you don't really have a makar. Right? I mean, there could have been a different answer to this question. Undoubtedly, it's the answer that others accept, and that is, the ahateis, Hashem Elokecha, comes after the words, as we discussed, I think, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So that refers not only to belief, but also a particular kind of belief, Yichud Hashem. So you say, oh, if the Ahateis, Hashem Elokecha, is a continuation of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, so it's a specific reference to avodah zarah. But that's not what the Ran says, not what the Halava says. What they're really saying is, you're right, the pasuk doesn't say anything about avodah zarah, but stam, the Ahateis, Hashem Elokecha, which requires that you be moser, not shecha, that stam is avodah zarah, or what it stands for, loyalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but a fundamental linchpin of your identification. I think it's an amazing, powerful idea. You know, sometimes, you know, you have a good kasha, you have a good parrots, or you know, bintoma yishloma. But it's always important to step back and to try to like fully appreciate the profundity of the ideas that we encounter. So, what does this have to do with Yom HaAtzmaut? Again, this is all like an ad hoc Yom HaAtzmaut here. But so I just to add, you know, something which is of course very difficult to understand. And it shouldn't be overstated too much, it often is, but it should be understood. And that is the famous Gemara in the end of Masechet Ksuvos. And the Gemara says that Hador, you know, Bechutz Laretz, you know, Kemi She'ein Lo Eloka. And, you know, again, the more extreme, I guess, the Zionists, you know, like to quote this a lot. And, you know, I mean, it's good for, it's appealing for them to be able to quote it. Of course, the question is, what does it mean? So we know many people who are not, dar be'eretz Yisrael, or who are dar b'chutz laretz, and we wouldn't describe them per se just because of that. K'mishen lo l'ka, some of the people who made the most important contributions to Jewish life, you know, were people who lived in chutz laretz. So living in Eretz Yisrael is not a substitute for halacha. And living outside of Eretz Yisrael, you know, is mostly not Kemi She'ein Lo Eloka. But the Gemara says this, and it's not the only statement of its kind. There aren't so many of them like that either. But there's also the other one, of course, Hatzivi Loch Tziyunim, that you know, everybody quotes the famous defray that Rashi quotes in Parshas Ekev, and the Ramban quotes it. You know, that quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. You know, etc. But Hatzivi Loch Tziyunim, when you're in Kutzlaritz, you should be, you know, Shomer Mitzvos, you know, so that way when you return to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be fully versed, etc. And, you know, they mention Tfilin and Mezuzah, and so on. So without going into all the details right now, very, very difficult, Maimar Chazal, and one which Rashi and Ramban quote, so we really need to understand it. But I mean, you put on tefillin and mezuzah only as preparation to returning to Eretz Yisrael. He's our chavos haguf, and not chavos karka. They're not kiddush Hashem, and they're not smicha either. So what's really going on? I think that the answer is along similar lines. I'm suggesting it, and that is there Shema Mizrahim Shema, and Chazal notes the fact that Shema is Belashon Yachid. And Hayim Shemoa is the Lashon Rabin. So I think what's really intended here is the idea that whatever one does mitzvahs, even mitzvahs which are kovas haguf, even a mitzvah that a yachid does, right, it's still important to be mindful of the fact, right, that while the chova hagavra may be a chovas yachid, the ability to accomplish that in a framework, right, which is also conducive to Chovas HaTzibur, right, it's a kiyum in the mitzvos and Chovos Yachid as well. And in that sense, again, it's the Parshas Shema, the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos of Akev, in which we have this Medrash. The Lashon Tzibur. In that sense, right, in the Tzibur sense of the mitzvah of mezuzah and tefillin, I'm going to speculating, in that sense, right, there's an aspect which is lacking in Chutz La'aretz, you know, which attains greater significance in Eretz Yisrael. Even if only because of what I said earlier, which is the capacity to perform all 613 mitzvot, which isn't just, you know, a numbers game. Right? The more you can do, the better it is. Obviously, the idea of 613, Chazal compare it to, you know, Ivarim and Gidim, right? It implies a certain holistic, balanced approach. It's a kind of a din of shleimus. And that's something that can be accomplished ideally, and actually, only in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, every one of those mitzvot, even the Chovos Yachid, right, there's an added element of doing that within the framework of a life in Eretz Yisrael. I think that's the best I can do. Still remains difficult, but the best I can do for Atzidi Lach Tziyudim in that Medrash. In that sense, too, just going back, that Kol Ador B'Chutz La'aretz K'misha Ein Olokav, it sounds like a very harsh statement. And I think on one level that it really is a very harsh statement. However, in light of what we just explained in the Ran about Avodah Zarah, right, so again, the idea of the Ran was that things that are the linchpin mitzvah, in this case Avodah Zarah, right, is something which defines a person and defines his identification and his loyalty. Right, you can have somebody who does, as we just said, 612 mitzvahs perfectly, you know, okay, so he's got a bit of an Avodah Zarah problem, you know. And then you have somebody else. The only thing he's good for is, you know, his absolute renunciation of Avodah Zarah. He won't, you know, he's really quite resolute, let's say, in his Ravona Shalom loyalty, you know, on the theological plane. Right? So one is an Avarian, and the other one is, you know, Kibisha Kofa Bekola Mitzvos. Absolutely. Because that is a defining aspect. And I think that, you know, Adar B'chutzlar, it's Kamisha Ego Aloka, I think relates to this idea, at least, as well. And that is that, at least on the Tzibor side, and if it's true on the Tzibor side, then that spills over, I guess, into other things as well. The idea is Kamisha Ego Aloka, meaning this is a linchpin idea, not like about a Zohar, not the same way about a Zohar. It's only Arig Vayav or for not living in Eretz Yisrael. It's meant more metaphorically, not actually halachically. But the point is, at least that somebody who has that possibility, let's say, and, you know, he just doesn't, I would say what it probably means is
that somebody who doesn't value, a person who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael because doesn't value it, as opposed to a person who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael because there are 100 other, you know, issues and pressures, you know, that come into play. It's not a rejection of Eretz Yisrael. Family considerations, financial considerations, especially internal Jewish and even Jewish community considerations. You know, so the point is that if you just disregard it and you don't consider it to be a value, right, that's a big tisaron in your perspective on not only Eretz Yisrael, but by definition, by extension, Klal Yisrael. And as such, in the same way, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, in a certain sense, it's Kimi Shem Elokecha. Yeah.
Understanding that we're not talking about, like you say, the big three, four, or fifth, how does one determine what is not the kind of a public display that therefore they don't get called up to the Torah for, or they don't get counted within the community, whatever that might be?
You mean in other things?
Yes.
I mean, are there other, aside from Gimel Averos,
yes.
I mean, what can someone do to...
Is there anything that one can do that would...
Well, I think there are, yeah, I mean, listen, there are other, you know, there are other severe Averos, both on the, you know, both in terms of infraction and punishment, and as well as symbolically. But, you know, they're each has its own dynamic. Shabbos, of course, is one very good example. Right, a mumar l'chalas a Shabbos, especially the Mezid, l'hachis, is a mumar l'chalas a rekula. It could be that other averos l'hachis, in other words, we're not l'tayov, you know, will also write a person out and say that he's, again, some years ago we learned chulin, we discussed this issue. Listen, even in Avodah Zarah, right, we say Yisrael Ava Pisha Chata Yisrael. So you have to figure out when do we say Areu Kagoi, the Enok Yisrael, and when do we say, you know, Ava Pisha Chata Yisrael. Is it Kulas and Chumras? Is it personal status and personal issues as opposed to Sibor issues? Again, it's a topic in its own right. That some years ago we learned Kulin, I think it was like 3 years ago? 2 years ago, right? 3 years ago? 3 years ago. So then we went into more detail about that issue. But that's exactly the issue. These are, Shabbos is an example. Other Averus L'Achis are examples. For example, there's a whole discussion, let's say a person's a flagrant Abaryan. So I don't know whether you would say, you know, that he's Kinishain L'Olakam. But if you talk about, like, you know, should a community shun some, you can also use the power of the community, you know, an excommunication sometimes, you know, to right wrongs and to redress abuses. So, for example,
you're using a different, you're saying there's a difference between a mazik and someone that has a personal push for it.
These are different. What I'm saying is, I think you have to look at these. It's a very complicated question. You ask it from general categories. So, number one, there are some averos which are more pivotal and central than others. Right? You know, Avodah Zarah clearly. You know, Gilei Arayos and Shlichus Damim, obviously, in terms of Gimel Averos, so they present themselves. We find, for example, that a person, you know, who is a Rotzeach is, you know, automatically excluded from certain things, Kohen, Duchenin, things of that sort. Chilul Shabbos, I indicated, is a great example because that you have that principle, Machit Maisa Bracious. The Gemara, Rashi explains the Gemara in Kulin. So he, you know, he loses. If you look at the language of the Rambam in the end of the very, very end of Hukkah Shabbos, in Perek Lamed, Hukkah Shabbos, right, the Rambam closes with how central Shabbos is, how theologically significant it is. That's Osi Beni Ubeni Yisrael Osi Leolam, and it's about, you know, being a member of Kal Yisrael, and he compares it to Avodah Zarah. And there's another Rambam in Hukkah Rotzeach where he says, you know, the worst thing a person can ever be is a Rotzeach, somebody who, you know, completely denies Tzelem Elokim. So obviously the big three, Gilei Arayos is a little trickier, and Shabbos. I'm also saying the method of violating L'Hachiz versus L'Tayavon is very important to that equation. If you're talking about like a Leos or the Shul, I'm also adding, in order to be, you know, Kegai, L'Chol HaDevarim,
you know, for you to be shunned by the community. There's something called the Cherem and the Shamta. They use community involvement, right, to, I say, to redress imbalances sometimes. There's a particular problem in the community, a particular abuse. Sometimes they, well, we, the only way to do that, for example, now, you know, this is used, Seir of Bezdin, especially in the context of, you know, giving gittin and so on, aguna, what they call aguna problems today, not the old aguna, somebody's lost and we don't know where he is, but the people who refuse to give gittin. So they use, you're not going to say about that such a person that he's kegoy l'chol adamarim. I mean, it's just not viable to say that halakhically. But can you say, oh, the community should shun him, he can't get an aliyah, we shouldn't let him come to shul? You can do that. I mean, whether we have those capacities in our communities is, you know, whether we can pull it off is something else. Is there historical halachic precedent for that? 100%. These are ways of, because he's defying, you know, communal standards and halachic standards. Or, for example, you know, somebody's a flagrant avarian, you know, in certain kind of his behavior, and everybody knows about it, let's say, and to give him an aliyah, you know, would be interpreted, maybe misinterpreted, or maybe interpreted correctly, as people, you know, kind of turning a blind eye to his unacceptable behavior, right? So there's a lot of discussion in poskim, you know, again, where do you draw the line? Is it lavin? Is it, you know, things that, you know, more Hashem oriented? As we'll soon see. I mean, the topic that we're doing now, we didn't get, you know, make much headway today, but there's the Gimel Averos, right? But in addition to the Gimel Averos, in this Sugya Pesachim, there's only the Gimel Averos. The Kol Pesrap and the Chutz Miyata Asherah, and, you know, that extension, the Gemara says, Rotzeach and Gilei Arayos. But the parallel Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, in the Mar Makomos that we began with last week, the Gemara in the Ayin Dalid, it's an Anros that puts a gun to your head and says, I want you to violate or else. So the Gemara says there, then if it's Farhestia or Shas Hashmanu, look at the Gemara just for a minute. Well, I'll read it in a minute for some to make my point. It's Farhestia or Shas Hashman, it's Yehari Gal Yavar. Now those are, it could be Mitzvah Kala, it could be Arkas of the Misana, it could be a Minog. How could it be Arigal Yavar? The answer is because the koach of those two things, at least, the koach of Chil Hashem is very powerful. Right? Again, Parsha Samor. So you give up your life, sanctity of life, rather than avoid a Chil Hashem Bifarhasya. That's an amazing idea. It's in the Kaddish and Shemayim Bifarhasya. So what that says is that even if the quality of the Aveira per se isn't Koveya, and even if there's no Lahachis, that's the second category, right? The way in which you flaunt or are flagrant about, that's what we were talking about a second ago, there can be a third issue, and that is the way that your behavior affects other people. That could also demand a very harsh response. Now, in the case of the Arigal Yavar, it demands a response, a voluntary response from you. Don't let yourself be exploited, right, to undermine, you know, Torah's values and the Rabbanu Sholem and Torah's reputation. But by extension, we can understand that if we're asking you to make this kind of a sacrifice, then Chil Hashem Bifarhasya is sufficiently grave matter, right, that if the community has to get involved and say, you know, normally on the books this is only a lav or an assay or a minog, but we consider it to be, given the context and given the reality, we consider the implications of this right now to be very dire. And therefore, assuming they have the power, the problem is we have fragmented communities, so I'm saying ideally. And therefore, you know, this person cannot walk in a shul, or this person, you know, can't deal. These are all paradigms. Exactly this idea. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but those are like in general terms. Yeah.
I just have
three.
Number one, we can just go up to a family of Russian citizens and children of Kuz. Filling a mezuzah.
Yeah.
As he loves the union. Yeah, it was really originally talked about.
Yeah, they said the name of the grub.
The Maitres.
Yeah, they said the name of the grub. It's in Kol Elio.
He was just up to a family of
Russian. It's in the Kol Elio.
So
which is the grump. But it doesn't. By the way, it's there and it's cute, but it doesn't really work. It's for the kolal yom. The reason it doesn't work is because it's not just it's not Rashi. It's a sefrei.
Rashi wrote talk about mem.
Yeah, I'm saying, but it's in the sefrei. Rashi's quoting the sefrei in Parshas Akev, and it's there too. It's not Rashi. And it's not only Rashi, it's also the Ramban. In other words, it goes back to the Medrash and it goes forward to the Ramban and to the other Rishonim. So it's a good, the Gro is trying to say, it's Mitzvah Tluyas Ba'aretz. But the problem with it also is that you don't have Mafish Trumas and Maestros in Chutz La'aretz.
Yeah,
not even the Shem Chinuch.
Syria.
Okay, but that's...
And it's fasting some stuff from Gittin.
So that works with what I'm saying. Okay, that's different than saying that it's on chinuch. Right, 100%. That works very nice. Where did you say that?
Sam Sofer said that.
In a tshuva?
Yeah. No, in
Gittin. Oh, in the Chidush. Okay, that works nicely for me.
By Bernstein quote.
Okay.
So it's a good marker. In fact, he quotes Rishon Zalmor by telling him over that some faithful, he said he can't understand how some faithful living in Chutz La'aretz and to write in such a thing. And the third thing is that the Korban and Pesach was Bnei Yisrael went into they had them to go gateless themselves, the Tzvila, Mila, and Korban. So
that's already but prior, not for the Korban Pesach. Really, we assume that their Geirus was really for Matan Torah. Okay, so we have another couple minutes only, but. Okay. So we talked about the Makor from Arzara. The last thing we were discussing about the Sugya itself was also what this Din of Asherah, the Shop and Batei Asherah is all about. So we talked about there being three Shitas here. Rashi says that the problem of Refuah, the Asherah, is a problem of, seems to be a problem of Marasai. Rashi says that if you heal somebody with Amistrapi Batei Asherah, these are the last few words of Rashi and Chofei Amar Aleph, Amistrapi Batei Asherah Nira Kimodeva. Right, he is at Modeva, substantively, but it's Nira Kimodeva. So I think I mentioned last time, or if I didn't, I'll mention it this time, and that there is an explicit Machokas Rishonim regarding Mar Sain of Avodah Zarah. Right, the Gemara tells a story in Avodah Zarah about the person who had to bend down to get a drink because he was very thirsty. Gemara implies that he actually had a state of pikuach nefesh, in severe dehydration, I guess. And the Gemara says he's not allowed to do that if it's right in front of a big idol or a little idol because of the fact that it looks like Avodah Zarah. And the Ran says, what, this is Mar Sain of Avodah Zarah? Mar Sain of Avodah Zarah you're supposed to give up your life for? Very strange. So the Ran says, either what we mean is that he's going to be very ill. We don't really mean he's going to die. Right? In other words, Mar Sain of Avodah Zarah is Nayari Glayavor, or we really mean that Mar Sain is something that you give your life for. Now, what does the Ran mean by that? Mar Sain is Mar Sain, it's not Avodah Zarah. So it seems that there are two elements. Number one, the question is whether Mar Sain is what we call Klali or Prophet. And we have the exact same argument, I was going to read it inside, but it's a little bit late, between the Balamar and the Ramban regarding Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mikshel. Let's say you have a Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mikshel of either Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, or Shvichus Zav. So do you say Yehareg V'Yavor or not? So there appears to be this issue, and it's an issue that affects other dinim as well. The very famous discussion of Rabbi Kivager in the beginning of Shabbos, from the Mishnah on Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos, the first Mishnah, Mishnah says there, Mishnah has,
the Oni and the Ashir, you know, the Oni and the Balabayas, you know, one is on the, you know, the Oni is on the outside, the Balabayas on the inside, and they have, you know, Nitzios HaShabbos, Shnayin Shein Arba. They have all these scenarios. Let's say the Oni does the Akira and the Balabayas does the Hanacha, and so on and so forth. Now, some of the cases are either the Oni or the Balabayas does everything. The Oni picks it up, he does the Akira, and he does the Hanacha. Or the Balabayas does the Akira and the Hanacha. Those are the cases that the Mishnah calls Pater U'Mutter. Pater U'Mutter. So the Bali Tosef asks the question, are you Pater U'Mutter? At minimum, the guy who's holding his hand stationary, so he didn't do the Akira, he did the Hanacha. But at minimum, he is allowing, or if he's enabling, the other fellow to do the Avera. He should be chayav for lifnei or lifnei mechsha. That's Tosef's question. So, Bali Tosef gives different answers. The famous issue of Trey Ibri to Nahari, namely, is it only true that you only violate the enabling or the facilitating aspects of the lifnei or lifnei mechsha if the person could do it without you? But he could put it on the floor without you. That's one answer Tosef gives. Inami, Tosef says, you're right, he violates the Shneiver, but what we meant is he doesn't violate any Shabbos halacha. So Rabbi Gregor picks up on that, and he says, I'm not so sure about that. The question is lifnei lesitei mechshol of Shabbos a Shabbos halacha, or even a general halacha? But my nafkamina, since we were talking about this just a second ago, I mentioned before that in Shabbos, there's a special din of mumar l'chal nefesh Shabbos, the mumar l'chal atzara kula. So the question is, only when you do Yisra Malacha, which you chayav misa for, what if you do a lav, let's say you violate Tchum Shabbos, or Naseh, or maybe even a Drabanan? After all, it isn't the severity of the Maisa Avera, it's the symbolic significance of being Makhish, the Maisa Bracious. So as long as it's a Shabbos kind of a violation, maybe you don't need the severity of the Malacha. Ah! But if that's true, so what about Lifnei Iver or Mar Sayin of Shabbos? Is that also Mum L'Chalas of Shabbos and Mum L'Chalas of Arkus? So there are two issues. Number one, how chamur within Shabbos do you require for this din? If the answer is we don't care about the chomer, we just care about the fact that it's a Shabbos halakha, then comes question number two. That is, Lifnei Iver and Mar Sayin are klali kind of in the Lifnei Iver just means facilitating an Avera. Marasayan means, you know, giving me the perception, being responsible for the perception of doing an Avera or of something that is also being mutter, right? However you want to explain it. Does it matter whether it's Nosar or Vigal or Chazir or Shabbos or Vodazara? It's Marasayan. It's the Seder. So that's what Rabbi Kinegar is really discussing. That's what Tosis is discussing. Tosis Shanim is discussing in Shabbos. And that problem, that's exactly the question. So the Achronim make this connection between the Shabbos issue and the, we had it in, by the way, in Chatzishir, the beginning of the year, right? We talked about, but the Chatzishir of Chametz is Chametz halacha or general halacha? Or the Chatzishir of Yom Kippur is Chatzishir generally or it's a Yom Kippur Chatzishir? And so on. Same idea, same issue. So it could be that the Rashi here, if that's what he means, and the second, the 2 days of the Rashi of Avodah Zarah, that's exactly the question. Is Mar Sayin of Avodah Zarah or not? And if it is, then same issue as the Balamor and Ramban about the Fnevel is Yitin Nitzshal of Avodah Zarah. Is it Yahari Vayavar? Yahari Vayavar applies even to what we call Adizrayu of these categories or not? After all, the Ran, right, explains in a different way. The Ran says it's not about Azara, it's not Nira Kavod Azara, it's Lo Yidbak Me'uma Menachere. It's the Yisra Hanah of Avod Azara. I mean, Yisra Hanah is only Yisra Hanah, it's not a Maisa Avoda. If you're interested in the Chomer Hadavar, right, then this shouldn't be true. It also goes back to what we talked about before, which is, you know, Shemokar is the Achas Hashem Elokecha, right, so. Maybe there's what to say about all this. Anyways, the point is that according to the Ran, right, Abiz, what he calls Abizrayu Davarazara, Abizrayu Darayas, quotes the Gemara at the end of Sanhedrin. Gemara says that if a person developed a, we'll talk about this next week, it's a very important Gemara, If a person developed a compulsion or an obsession, right, I have to, engage in some way, different Gemara has different levels of engagement, with this particular woman, right, otherwise I'm going to die. Okay, as a psychiatrist, this is also fascinating, the Gemara doesn't say, he's just, exaggerating. Right? They treat it seriously, in the sense that you really could have this result. It's really a case of sakana. I mean, the psychiatrist says he's really going to lose his mind. Right? Just like the Gemara Neuma talks about, somebody who's very, the ubra she'iricha, pregnant woman, and she smells the food in it, in Yom Kippur, and she, the halakha is you tell her it's Yom Kippur, you try to speak to her, you try to calm her down, give her perspective, but if it doesn't work, that's because nefesh. What do you mean if it doesn't work? I mean, obviously it's not just an intellectual and irrational thing. I mean, the halakha can accept that there are certain, mental disorders or physiologically driven in some cases, where psychology, takes over, and that can really be sakana. That itself is very important to know. You don't find it very often, but in these two makoros, you find it. So the case of the Gemara is that somebody develops this kind of a compulsion obsession, and the doctor again signs on. However, the Gemara says, "Tziarik vayavar, it's gilui arayos," right? Afilu ledabarima mechori agedar, which is even more difficult to understand. Obviously, maybe we'll try to discuss it. But the point is that how could this be? So the Ram says that's not Israel. That's so sikravul galos erba. Not so sure everybody agrees. He says two things. Number one, it's so sikravul galos erba, and number two, even though it's only a lab, it's like the yidbak mulum and acherim and about it. He also says there's no difference within the gimel abeiros on this question. It's abisrayim and abisrayim was osur. So if abisrayim was osur, then maybe maris ayin, as long as it's prati, is osur, and maybe the tnei v'lisit and mitchal is osur too. That's a big machlokes rishonim. What about abisrayim? So there's a dual argument. Number one, to assess whether these satellite cases are still even satellite cases or there's something else. Number two, are satellite cases enough? However, when it comes to the Nira Kimode, the Marasaina, Vodazara, there's another aspect as well. This is what I want to leave you with today. And that is, even if you were to say that Abizrayu, that Vodazara is no good, not no good, I mean it doesn't qualify as a Vodazara for the reasonings of the Hari Vayahar. It's very possible that Nira Kimode, that Marasayan of Avodazara, even if you were to say Marasayan is Klali and not Prati, still justifies the response of the Ari Vayahar. And that, if you assume that the factor of Kiddush Mechil Lashem is what drives this thing. Point is, there are two ways to understand even the Gimel Averis. We said before that Farhesia, right, if the challenge is made public, or Shaf HaShmat, right, somebody says, we want to test your mettle, right, we want to determine the level of your loyalty, to Judaism, right, that's called Shaf HaShmat. That's the Havra Adat, assuming it's a Shaf HaShmat. It's a time of religious crisis, Yar Goyam. Certainly, the Parhesia part, anyway, is based on the principle of the Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, Chil Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem. Question is, if there are different models of Yehoreg, Val Yavar, Parhesia, what we call Shaf HaShmad, Gimel Averos, are they all the same or not? So the Ramban, in his Mechamos, we'll read it next time, suggests that the Gimel Averos are different than Parhesia and Shaf HaShmad. That they're based on what we call the Chomer Tzadi. I mean, these Gimel Averos are so Chomer that there's no Heter Bikuach Nefesh. There's no Bechaiva. Baal Amor seems to be taking the view that all the Yehoreg Val Yavors are the same. The details of their application are different. Parhesia, Shas Hashmad, what we call Karka Olam, Hanoah Saksim, there are all sorts of factors.
But these factors are all relevant to determining the Chil Hashem quotient, you could call it, of a particular circumstance and Aveh. But really, the Mechayev, even of the Gimel Aveiros, is Chil of the Kiddush Hashem. The Rambam deals with the whole problem of Yehori Val Yavor, all aspects of it. Gimel Aveiros, Shafa Shmad, Farhesya, in Perek Hei, Hukos Yisrael Torah. That parak begins, and we have that in our new the Torah, so we'll just establish that, and then we'll continue with this next time. That begins, look on page 1, 2, I think I remember them. You probably remember them. The bottom of page 2, right? Make sense? At least the mind it is. The Rambam Perakei of the Sodia Torah deals with all these halakhos in the Perak that begins Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem Agadol Hazeh Shenema V'Niknashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael U'Muzarin Shulam L'Chalo Shenema V'Los Chalo Shem Kadshi. In Sefer Mitzvos also the Rambam deals with these issues in the Mitzvah in the Isser of Chil Hashem. This is a Perak that is dedicated to Kiddush of Chil Hashem from beginning to end. The last halakha of this parak, which I didn't put here, is the famous halakha of the Gemara in Yuma, V'ahatos Hashem Elokecha, Sheyehei Shem Shemayim Nis'ahei Bal Yadecha. Right? That if you go into a store, you should act like if you're a good ambassador for Torah, you're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. If you're behaving improperly, you're Mechalas Hashem. From beginning, from the first halakha to the last halakha, this parak seems to deal with Kiddush V'Chil Hashem. I think the Rambam's position is a little more complicated than that, as we'll explain next week, but hopefully. But the point is, if the Mechayev, even if the Gimel Aveiros, is Kiddush V'Chil Hashem, the only thing is, everything else needs a Farhesya. These Aveiros are so chamor that when the word gets out, even without 10 people, right, even violating them, Bitsina is a Chil Hashem. If that's the case, then is it the substance? Or is it the perception? If the whole point is the Chil Hashem, the impact on others, so somebody thinks that you're bowing to an idol, and you know you're not, because it's just Mara science. In the end of the day, as Chil Hashem, does it matter? What matters is what they think. If it's about the Chumra Saveira, then it matters what you're doing. But if it's about the perception, then Mara science is no different than the substance. And that would be true, even if Mara science Al-Pidin is... And he said, Kalali, it's not even part of Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter. It's all part of the special din of Yehari Bal Yavor, Shel Avodah Zarah. It's also possible to distinguish within the Gimel Aveiros, and we'll discuss that as well.